You're never that far from a Mexican restaurant. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. First, U.S. and British strikes against Yemen have not, thus far, made the Red Sea any more welcoming to commercial ships. Yemen's Houthi group has said it'll now attack U.S. and British ships in solidarity with Palestinians. Japanese shipping company Nippon Yusen today became the latest firm to suspend transit through the Red Sea. Nippon Yusen stock closed up 2.7% on the Nikkei. Roughly 1 in 10 restaurants in the U.S. serves Mexican food. That is according to the Pew Research Center, which also found that 85% of U.S. counties have at least one Mexican restaurant, though those restaurants are concentrated in California and Texas. Reporting from Houston, the second largest hub for Mexican food in the country is Marketplace's Elizabeth Troval.
At Houston Eatery Tamales Don Pepe, owner Rene Hidalgo stands behind the front counter.
I manage the place. I prepare many of the salsas, the food.
This is his second Mexican restaurant in Houston. He began as a dishwasher and has seen the landscape of Mexican cuisine evolve in the Houston area since he moved here in the 1990s.
Now more people know that there's not just Tex-Mex, but there's so many other type of Mexican food.
His menu represents the bites he grew up with in Mexico City.
Sopes, huaraches, empanadas, all those are very typical from Mexico City.
The first Tex-Mex restaurant opened in West Texas in the 1880s. The Taco Bell franchise was born in the 1960s. And the Great Recession of the late 2000s was another pivotal moment, says Texas Monthly taco editor Jose Rolat.
With that economic fallout, Americans specifically were looking for affordable foods, and they homed in on tacos.
And these eats are cheap. Around two-thirds of Mexican restaurants on Yelp were rated $1 sign for affordability, according to Pew Research. Though Rolat says these days some folks are willing to dish out a lot more for their tacos.
Nothing stops Mexican food. Americans want it, and they demand it. And they will find it.
Mexican food is really the new American.
In his new Eatertainment Concepts, restaurateur Robert Thompson says he's centering Mexican food as he caters to a younger crowd.
Millennials were the first generation to prefer Mexican over Italian. Now Gen Z has done the same.
Younger generations who are also more likely to be Latino. But Houston chef Adan Medrano says the expansion of Mexican cuisine goes beyond simple demographics.
The chef owners and writers like myself, who are Mexican-American, native-born to this region, have gotten more education, more money, more access to capital.
And he says, besides flavor, people connect with the story of Mexican cuisine, which is rooted in North America.
The Native American roots of the Texas Mexican food go back to the first people to step on Texas soil.
He says as Mexican dining becomes more connected to its origins, it's becoming even tastier. In Houston, I'm Elizabeth Troval for Marketplace.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
The Federal Reserve, the FDIC, and the Treasury Department all want new rules for banks. Specifically, they want to increase capital requirements for banks with more than $100 billion in assets. Today is the last day they're taking comments on it. The idea is to make sure banks have enough money during bad times. Here's Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes.
Think of the money a bank uses to fund its business like it's a pizza, says Wharton financial regulation professor Peter Conti Brown. There are some equity slices, that's money the bank gets from its investors, and there are some debt slices, that's money the bank has to borrow.
on the equity slices, you might think, okay, this is kind of boring cheese pizza. Not your favorite, but you know it's good.
He says the debt slices are more of an unknown.
On the debt slices, you're like, hey, has anyone ever put taco sauce on a pizza? I mean, let's put some pineapple on this thing. And you're taking risks. That pizza with taco sauce and pineapple might be disgusting.
You could think of the proposed federal capital rule as requiring banks to have fewer risky debt slices in their pizzas and more equity slices.
What the regulators are saying, we're going to have lots of good, plain, boring cheese pizza. We don't have the risks of gross pizza that people are going to hate. We don't have the reward of really crazy pizza that people are going to love. But we're going to have enough pizza to feed everybody.
But the banking sector is concerned about having enough pizza. Banks say the U.S. already has robust capital requirements in place, and that making them more stringent will raise the cost of doing business.
The thing to remember in this context is not each slice of pizza costs the same amount.
Hugh Carney is executive vice president of the American Bankers Association. He points out equity slices, so to speak, are the priciest kind of funding for banks, and that the increased expense will be passed on to their customers.
So the availability of credit is going to be more limited, and the cost of credit to customers is going to be high.
In other words, it could be harder and more expensive to get a loan. The Federal Reserve says that, yes, this proposal could mean higher costs for banks.
But this is only half the story.
This is the Fed's vice chair for supervision, Michael Barr, during a speech in October. He says having increased capital on hand could also enable banks to better absorb losses.
The private costs of capital must be weighed against the social benefits of higher capital in creating a healthier, more resilient financial system and reducing the likelihood of financial crises.
Barr also said this month that the agency is learning a lot from all the comments it's been getting. Once they're all in, proposed rules can take months or sometimes years to come to fruition. So could be a while before we know what's going to end up on those pizzas. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.